Earlier this year, researchers discovered a new virus in a sample taken from Siberian permafrost. It was a giant virus, big enough to see through a regular microscope, and it was still viable, even after being frozen away for some 30,000 years. It is not the only huge virus out there. In recent years, scientists have discovered several viruses that top out the growth charts. But why are they so big, and what can researchers learn from them? And given that this one was frozen in permafrost that is now melting, what else might be lurking out there? Joining me now to talk about it is James Van Etten. He's professor in the Department of Plant Pathology at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. He studies giant viruses, and he edited the scientific paper about the Siberian giant virus. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
This is a big, big virus that was discovered in March, huh?
Yeah, that's it doesn't have the biggest genome because a relative of it, or believed to be a relative of it, has many more genes than this more recent one. But the size of the particle was certainly big enough now to be able to see under the light microscope.
So,
and that was true, actually, of one that looks like it that was discovered by the same group, and they published it about a year ago, called Pandora virus. And it's of the same shape as this more recent one, but genetically they are very different from one another.
Some of these big viruses I was reading have 2,500 genes in them.
Yeah, the previous one had about 2,500 genes, yes.
And so is it really a virus if it has that many genes in it?
Well, that's always a good question, because this has more genes than what's present in many bacteria, and also more genes than a few eukaryotic organisms. Now, in answer to your question, viruses cannot replicate by themselves. They can only replicate in another organism. And furthermore, typically one virus, when it infects, will make many viruses all in one step. Unlike a cellular organism where one makes two cells, makes four cells. So by that criteria, these are all viruses.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Yet I understand that some of the genes that are in these viruses are involved in replication, are they not?
Yes. In fact, that's not so unusual because many viruses, or almost all viruses, carry, even if they only have three or four genes, usually at least one or two of the genes will make proteins involved in the replication of their particular nucleic acid. So, but what is interesting about these giant viruses, they have many genes involved in that process, and some of them can actually carry out most of their replication outside the nucleus of the cell that they're infecting.
They can.
Again, these are all viruses that infect eukaryotic cells as opposed to bacteria, which do not have nuclei.
Uh-huh. Is it possible that these are some sort of hybrid form of life from way back when?
Well, that now you get into a very controversial subject. It turns out many of these viruses probably have a common evolutionary background, including the ones that we work on, which are quite a bit smaller than these ones we're talking about. And one suggestion was years ago that they might have been free-living organisms at one time and came out of the same gene pool when eukaryotic organisms and bacteria evolved, and that they might have been free-living at one time and then became trapped in some host and have been losing genes since that original event. Now, there's other people that think these giant viruses were actually smaller viruses at one time and then have been gaining genes, whereas the other situation would argue that they've been losing some genes from when they were first discovered or first developed. But that's you can have a lot of fun talking about that over a beer, because it's there are people who will argue on either side of that issue.
How come we just discovered these in the last few years?
Well, that's fairly easy to answer, mainly because nobody was looking for them. For the most part, all of the viruses we know of on the planet until rather recently were ones that either caused human or animal diseases, or in a few cases, plant diseases, and these would be diseases on crop plants. So, and then the other group were certainly bacterial viruses. So many of these people didn't look for them. They didn't find them. A second problem is that when you're looking for viruses in the past, you essentially take a sample and filter the material through a filter, and these giant viruses, it turns out, would be trapped in these filters, whereas the previous ones that people studied would pass through. So for many years, we were throwing these away, and not throwing them away, not picking them up.
They get stuck in the filter.
That's right. And so it's only been in the last 10 years or so some of these big ones have been found. And now that we know they're out there, people are finding that they're actually rather common.
Mm-hmm. And not dangerous.
Well, for the most part, no. As we know.
Yeah, as far as we know. Thank you, Dr. Van Etten, for taking time to be with us. Fascinating.
Okay.
James Van Etten is the William B. Allington Distinguished Professor in the Department of Plant Pathology at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln.